Okay, let's just bow in a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we just thank you that we have the privilege of coming together in your name, Lord, to listen to you, to serve you, to obey you. We pray, Lord, tonight that our time here together will not be wasted, but that, Lord, we will get keys that will help us to go forth in your name to unlock our future to us in a greater clarity than we've ever known before. Help us, Lord, to be right in the centre of your will day by day. For Lord, in this hour you need us all to have our light shining in this world of darkness, that people will know there's a living God who loves them and wants to see them saved. Lord, we just thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, right. Tonight we're looking at this important area of how can we know the will of God more fully in our lives. It's important. Every one of us would like to know the will of God for our lives more clearly. Is that fair comment?
Yeah.
And I believe that we can help each other. And so how can we know the will of God for our lives more clearly? I'll just share a little bit because of many years of experience. When I look back, I'm very fortunate that I knew God had called me to the ministry because I heard his voice when I was a backslider. I wasn't looking for it, but God just arrested me by speaking to me on the day that the guy that I originally gave my heart to Jesus through, he died. And I clearly heard the voice of God saying somebody has to take his place. And I knew, even though I was backslidden, I knew God was calling me to the ministry to take that man's place. The power of that voice so impacted me that right there in my room, God just turned my life right around from being backslidden to filling me with a hunger to want to know Jesus. I don't know how long it took, but it was only a few minutes. That just turned me right around and put me back on a pathway to seeking God. And then, when I was sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit in the middle of the herd of cows, God spoke to me again and clarified it and said, I'm raising you up to be a preacher of the gospel. And he gave me a sign that this was God, and he said, I am going to open doors for you to preach straight away. That happened. And then as I continued to walk with God, God would speak to me and give me something else. Okay. Now, I knew I had the call of God, but at that point I was just a single young guy, 18 years of age, just a brand new Christian as it were. And so what I did was that I got involved as much as I could in every opportunity of doing things ministry-wise within the Christian circles that I was moving in. In those days, the church that I was saved in used to have a Sunday afternoon open-air street meeting. Now that was challenging, but I used to preach on the streets in Palmerston North on Sunday afternoons. And so on, that gave me experience. I was preaching in outreaches. Gene's brother was a tent evangelist, and so we had opportunities that we would go and help him and stuff, and I would get to share things in the church. I got involved. I did Sunday school work, then it was youth work, but all of those things were giving me experience growing my confidence that, hey, I could do something for God. And I share that because I came from a very, I don't know why, but a very insecure, grew up with a failure complex that I would never amount to anything. And even the school teacher at secondary school told me that too. and so on. But these things lodge inside of you, and so you believe some of these negative lies about your life, and so getting all of this experience. Now, my calling was not necessarily to be a Sunday school teacher all my life, or a youth group leader, or street preaching all my life. But they were all experiences that became stepping stones into different seasons in our life. You see, I believe, as the scripture says, that when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive power to witness to Jesus. Every spirit-filled believer has a call on their lives to be a witness for Jesus. Now, in whatever way that can happen, we need to be taking it and gaining the experience. Now, I knew God had called us to the ministry, but Jean and I, because we had seen how people treated pastors, we avoided pastoring for at least 6 years. No way, Jose. We saw what happened there, and we didn't want to be on the receiving end. And so I used to call myself a bit of a missionary evangelist, because a prophetic guy had come from America to a conference here in New Zealand and pulled us out of the meeting and prophesied over us in front of everybody that God was sending us to the Fiji Islands, and gave us a sign we'd step foot in the Fiji Islands by the end of that year. It was April. Well, we arrived in Fiji about the 30th of December. And so on. But the doors that he gave us to step through over there were shut in our face. And so it wasn't just easy plain sailing, because God wanted us working with a different group of people there. And so he had to close one door before he could open another one. And these are the kind of experiences that we can go through when we are called of God. And so in those days, I like that we stayed in Fiji for 6 months, and my faith was challenged. And we came back to New Zealand. I was expecting just to step right into full-time ministry, and that would be it, you know. But came back to New Zealand, all the doors seemed to close, and I had to go back to secular job. By now I was working in the post office in Palmerston North, and it was quite a bit of a letdown to think that after all of those experiences in Fiji, where we saw God doing some amazing things, to come back just have to deliver letters again. But you see, God uses all of that. And what happened all the time, this ministry, the Gospel Faith Messenger, the faith in that was being put into that. And so that ministry began growing as more and more people became interested in what we had to offer and got on our mailing list and so on. Well, then came the challenge after a few years of that. The challenge came where literally we were dropped in the deep end and we finished up pastoring. And we pastored for, well, how many, 74 to 91? 25 years actually, we're pastoring churches and stuff. And so we had to have that experience, because in pastoring you have to work with people and making decisions that you've got to live with the results of. So if you get it wrong, you've got to live with it. If you get it right, you live with that. And I knew that our final destiny was not in pastoring churches. But God had us there because he wanted us to gain experience. He wanted us to learn people skills. Because ministry is about people. It's about connecting God with people and people with God. And if we are not sensitive to people, then we can miss so many opportunities of making those connections. And so I needed that time to be able to pastor churches, to learn how to relate to people, to learn to live with decisions that we made. And also, God had us in a position whereby he was able to work on me and to bring adjustments in me. And I learned something very crucial, and this applies to every one of us. God can only use us as much as He is allowed to change us as individuals. I tried for the first 15 years of pastoring to grow a big church, and all it did was get smaller. And then God began to change me. And as God began to change me as a result of speaking to me, and I cooperated with God for those changes to take place, I was amazed to see over the next 10 years of our lives, God multiplied our ministry 16 times over. And basically, what had happened was, God was getting through to me and changing my mindset from doing things often. You know, we can do things because we've been taught to do things that way. But God may have a different way for you. And we've got to learn that. You see, we have our securities in life that we find hard to let go of. But God wants us to know that He's our number one security. That He is worth trusting above everyone and everything else. Now that's something that every one of us has got to learn. You just can't switch it on, as it were, because, you know, we've all come from different backgrounds and so on. But, you know, and in our case, after we've been pastoring for all those years, God brought us to a point where He spoke to us to resign from all of that and to step out and to live totally by faith. Well, that was just totally new for us again, and it was scary, but we did it. And really, the last 14 years of our life have been the best 14 years that we've had so far, and yet logically, naturally, it's crazy. I mean, you know, not having a salary, and the ministry's more than doubled in that time, which takes thousands of dollars to keep running every month and so on like that, and yet every month every bill's paid, and God has just simply really confirmed what He spoke to us about stepping out in faith and so on. So what am I saying here? Every one of us are in a season of some sort now. Every one of us, if we're filled with the Spirit, should at least have some idea of why God has specifically chosen you to be in His kingdom. Because He chose you by name, and He's got a task for you to do that is very unique to you, and no one else can do it just like you can. And when we can connect those two together, when we can connect with that will of God for our life and flow with that, I tell you, you have the motivation, you are, what's the word? You are fulfilled. You have that inner knowing, hey, I'm doing what God's been preparing me to do for many years. You know, it's like one scripture comes to me right now. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields and brings forth good fruit and so on. You see, nothing's wasted in God, even what we see as our negative times. You know, when God said to me, I'm going to teach you how to love people, and I reacted to God and told Him I did, and He laughed, and so on. You know, part of the power of love is that it casts out fear. You see, and so many times the will of God in our life gets robbed because we've allowed fear to dictate, and we don't do things because fear dictates our decisions and boundaries and so on like that. And God allowed us to go right through, you know, to survive 3 death contracts on our life over 5 years to prove to us that perfect love casts out fear. To have people following you, to know that people are out to kill you and stuff, and not to be afraid of them, is not natural. And so God puts you through things at times to enable you to see just how far you've come. Because if you just had it good all the time, if it was all just glory land, well, you know, we wouldn't be out, we'd be so heavenly minded, we'd be no earthly use, wouldn't we? And so on. So what I'm saying here is that there is a progression of what I call seasons in our lives, depending on what your calling is, where God prepares you. If you've got, you know, for greater things, we've got to be prepared to go through other things. Like another scripture says, if we're faithful in the little things, God will trust us with the bigger things. Now today people want to have all the big things, but just overlook the little things, and then they wonder why the big things forsake them. You see, it's all about God working in us, preparing us so that His will, His plans and purposes can be worked out through our life. I was supposed to have that on, wasn't I?
I'm still getting
it. Are you picking it up?
Yeah.
And so on. And so, you know, we need to talk about this. Do you know the will of God for your life? And if so, what are you doing about it? Do you know where are you about and what progress level you're at in your journey? Because listen, we are not accidents going somewhere to happen. We all should be people of purpose, of divine purpose, because God has laid a hold of our lives. He's chosen us, He's called us by name, and so on. And I don't know about you, but for me, I am just so glad that I knew right back in my first year of being a Spirit-filled Christian, I knew what God's general calling for my life was. And I've forsaken that, pursued that, and as I've pursued that, God has just taken us through seasons where we've gained experience and learned different things and so on, and then God's moved us on to a bigger challenge and a bigger challenge, you know, until today we're in that privileged position of touching thousands of lives all around the world. In fact, this year, people from 202 countries have looked at our webpage. Well, I think there's only about 206 countries in the world. We've just about gone into all the world. Yeah. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
210. We're getting there. You see. And so, another thing, just while I'm speaking, to be thinking about, and I just want to encourage you, if you haven't got this little book that I've written, God's Supernatural Call, I'd encourage you to get it. It's only $2, goodness. But in here we talk about, if you've got your Bibles, go to Acts 22, 14 and 15. This has been a tremendous help to me. Because we tend, as people, to put people like the Apostle Paul onto such pedestals that we think we could never be like him.
Thank you, sir.
And, you know, Paul was very religious, but he didn't know Jesus. And he has an encounter with God. We all need to have an encounter with God. He has an encounter with God on the road to Damascus that was to change the entire course and direction of his life. And you know the story, how that Jesus revealed himself, spoke to him, this is in Acts 9, and told him to go into Damascus and wait for a certain disciple by the name of Ananias who would come and tell him what he must do. Which is amazing, because that's a real challenge. You know, can God so trust your obedience to his voice that he can give other people your name and tell them you are coming? And that you have got a specific message that's going to set them up for the rest of their lives. Because that's what happened with Paul. And we should, and Ananias, he wasn't a great disciple. He's basically an unknown guy that pops up in the scriptures with this one event and disappears again. Yet, his ministry set alight one of the greatest New Covenant preachers and apostles, the Apostle Paul, who has influenced millions of people around the world as a result of that disciple's one act of obedience.
You know, it's incredible. And so Ananias goes to Paul and prays for him to receive his sight and to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's in Acts 9. But in Acts 22, we see that he prophesies something else over Paul's life. And look, Acts 22, reading from verse 12. Then a certain Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good testimony with all the Jews who dwelt there, came to me, and he stood and said to me, Brother Saul, nobody had told Ananias except Jesus that Saul was now a Christian. This guy's learnt to believe, to trust the voice of God more than his own natural mind and reasoning. Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour, I looked up at him. He did receive his sight. Then he said, and this I believe applies to every one of us. It's not just specific for the Apostle Paul because he had this great calling. The principles here apply to every one of us. We need to know these experiences. He said to me, the God of our fathers has chosen you. We have to know we're chosen of God. We can't just go through life hoping and praying that God's for us. He is. If he wasn't, you wouldn't be saved. It's God's work to give us a born-again experience. That's God at work in our lives. That's God's approval of us. He said, I called you by name, my sheep hear my voice, they know me, they follow me. We are Jesus' sheep. Amen? We've got to believe that. It's the devil who makes us doubt. It's the devil that comes along, oh, come on, who do you think you are? That's just pride if you think you can be like the Apostle Paul. Well, you can. On these principles, if you know you're chosen of God. You've got to know that. I knew God had chosen me to be a preacher. And I was in a backslidden state when I knew that. The second thing was that you should know his will. Jeff got the word tonight from Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or acceptable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye renewed by the transforming of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1-3, gives us the keys, the principles to not only knowing the will of God, but to be able to prove it. Amen? So he's chosen you that you should know his will. It is God's heart to reveal his purposes to us. He wants that more than you do. We've just got to make the connection. And know that we are hearing the voice of God. Okay? Thirdly, and see the just one. Well, we see Jesus. The Bible says we see him high and lifted up. We have to see him with the eye of faith, through the eye of the Spirit. The Word, the Scriptures reveal Jesus to us. That's why we have to know what this book is all about. We've got to know the principles of the Word, especially in these days when there's so much deception in Christian ranks. It's not funny. Christians are being found out because they do not know the principles of the Scripture. Because that's your testing on whether or not the voice you're hearing is God or not. You hear what I'm saying? How do you know that the voice you're hearing is God if you don't know the principles of Scripture? How do you test the voice? You see, Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7 how you determine whether somebody is bringing you true or false prophecies. He said, watch for the fruit. What are they producing? What are we producing? Is our life, our ministry, what we're involved with, does that bring testimony to Jesus Christ? Do the people out there who are walking in darkness see that you and I are different because we're children of the light? And I tell you, if you're in the dark and someone puts a little light on, you can see it easy. So if you let your light shine, the people in the darkness are going to observe and say, what's different about that person? What have they got that we haven't? And that can often be the starting point of being able to witness. Amen? We have to learn, folks, that inside of us there is what the Bible calls a still small voice. We need to listen to it. We need to be sensitive to it. So we're sharing on Saturday. The Holy Spirit, the symbol, is a dove. The most pure, sensitive of all birds. And God's wanting you and I to become very sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. Because he can speak just everyday life. You don't have to be in a meeting for God to speak to you. And God can say, go here or go there. And I get it often. I'm going down to the post office to pick up the mail or something like that, and the Holy Spirit will say, go and tell this person this. Today down there, the old busker singing on the street, give him your book. You can measure your love for God. So he's got his hat out there for money, and I went and put the book in there in such a way that everybody could see the title. And he just left it there and promised me he would read it. You see, it's, and when you follow the voice of God, you get your timing right. Coming back to Saul, God's voice on the very first day that Saul was converted, he connected with the voice of Jesus. And he heard the voice of Jesus so clearly that I think in Acts 26 he said it was in the Hebrew language. It was so clear he could tell you what language it came to him in. And he heard the voice of God say to him, get up, go into Damascus, and one of my disciples by the name of Ananias will come and tell you what you should do. Now that's a big test for Saul, because he didn't like disciples. He didn't like Christians a few minutes earlier. And now God's testing his commitment. God will test your commitment. How committed are we to God? How desirous are we to know his will? And so Saul goes and waits for somebody he had never met called Ananias to come knocking on his door. Now what if Bruce had turned up? Because this is what happens today. The devil will send a substitute if he can. Now Saul knew the voice that was for him was coming through somebody called Ananias. And so he knew to listen only to the voice of Ananias at that divine encounter. You hear what I'm saying? God has chosen you and me that we should know his will and see the just one, who's Jesus, and the fourth one is, and hear the voice of his mouth. John 10 is a classic. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me, they follow me, and they do not follow the voice of a stranger. So true followers of Jesus have a connection to the true voice. And we need to listen to that voice, because the voice of Jesus will always lead us right. Listen, I've learnt this. God will never ask you to do something you cannot do. We can always do what God asks us to do. We might not have done it before, but we can do it. Because that's how God stretches our faith to bring us into a greater realm of faith, so that we can become even more usable in His hands. Because without faith, we can't please God. And what is faith? Faith is simply our corresponding actions to stepping out in obedience to the voice of the Lord. That's what faith is. It's not about shutting your eyes, poking the scripture and saying, oh, well, I must do that. It doesn't work like that, because you won't see fruit. But if you are hearing the voice of Jesus and telling you to step out, and it may be just very simple things to start with, like pick up the phone and ring so-and-so and encourage them. Or pop round and give someone to this. Or we hear, you know, bake a cake and take it to these people. And when people obey, there's a testimony on the other end. Because they become divine encounters. Amen? I don't know how many times, even in Christian meetings, when the Holy Spirit has said to me to go and say this to somebody in a meeting, and I've never talked to them in my life or anything, I walk up to them, and before I can say anything, they blurt out, I knew you were coming to me next. It's like the Holy Spirit prepares them, so I won't be such a shock. Anyway. But these are principles. That we should hear the voice of His mouth. And you hear me say this many times, because God is emphasizing things. 16 times in the New Testament we have one simple statement repeated. He who has an ear, let him hear. 9 times of those 16 times, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Christianity is all about a connection with the living Jesus who talks. Amen. And you and I will only progress as far in our Christian walk as much as we are able to connect with the voice of God. It is that important, and we need to know when God is speaking to us. And so He said that you should hear the voice of His mouth. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit baptism in our lives? You know, tongues is about edifying ourselves so that we can get into a closer relationship with Jesus, but the work of the Holy Spirit within us is that He will show you things to come. He will testify of Jesus. He does not speak of Himself, but He speaks of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the voice of God. And I have learned this, that the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit are 9 variations of the voice of God. That's why we all should be flowing in spiritual gifts. When we're flowing in spiritual gifts, it helps us to recognize the voice of God more quickly and clearly. Because every one of those gifts only function as a result of an impression, a thought that comes from the Holy Spirit. You act upon it and bang. Mark's back's healed. You see? And so on. There's always somebody waiting on the other side of our obedience. And Christianity is an action thing. It's not a religion as such. And Jesus is not, this is not history, folks. This is a living word that works today. We just got to be convinced about that. You know, more and more has been turned into a history book because of the powerlessness that's got amongst Christians. And a lot of that is because they just simply don't know what they're called to do. God wants you and I to know his will for our lives. And then it sums it up, and it could say a whole lot about these four things. And then in verse 15, for you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. What have we seen and heard? It's those four things that's just been mentioned. What have you heard? What do you know? What have you seen? I know I'm chosen of God. And I have met this living Jesus, and he's shown me what his will is for my life. And I know what I'm meant to be doing. And my focus is on Jesus. I'm following him. And I'm listening to his voice. And what he tells me amazes me. He opens doors. I mean, you've heard some of my testimony. But it just, when I think about some of these things, it amazes me. You know, I can be just sitting in a chair in my house. And next thing God will say, I'm sending you to England or Hawaii or Italy or somewhere. And you're going to meet a man in this colour shirt or something. And when you find him, I want you to tell him this. And I've never been there before. And you go. And when you get there, you meet that person. And you know you're in a God moment. You just know that something is God is cooking in God. And usually those people have been a key to open a new country up for me. Isn't that interesting? But you see, I could sit in my lounge chair and think, oh goodness, I had too much Weet-Bix for breakfast. You know, and you start making excuses and looking for reasons to not obey. You know, we're looking for a way out when we should be looking for a way in. You hear what I'm saying? As long as you've got an excuse, friends, you're going to miss the will of God totally. And God wants us to be a people that are so committed, so in love with him, that we want more than anything else his will to be done in our lives. And I tell you what, it fulfills you. It motivates you. It satisfies you. I am just so glad that God's called us to do what we're doing. I really am. Amen? And out of it comes a testimony to the glory of God. Okay? So do you agree with me tonight that these four things that we've just talked about here are not something exclusive to the Apostle Paul's calling? Every one of us needs those principles operating in our life. Do you agree? Because that basically is New Testament Christianity. And so God wants us to be people who know who we are and what we're about and what we're called to. And if we don't know, get around people that are doing something, that are encouragers and not knockers, because there's a lot of knockers in Christian circles that say, oh, that's not for you, Rod, you know. The numbers of people have tried to talk us out of what God's talked us into. You'd be surprised. And I tell you, sometimes they're well-known Christian leaders. And it challenges you because you respect them. And yet they can be totally wrong when it comes to knowing the will of God for your life. We have got to know the voice of God for ourselves enough to know that that voice is going to lead us and guide us into the very center of God's will for our life.
Absolutely.
Because it's God's will, remember, not yours, not mine. And that Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us right into the center of his will. Anyone else want to comment now? I've talked too much.
Yep, I've got a word for Jeff. And something that...
Hey Jeff, it's Graham here. I had a vision earlier, and I saw waves, big waves crashing on you. And the Lord told me that he absolutely adores you, and you adore the Lord. And he wants you to raise up that sword, and raise up that shield, and calm the storm. But there's more. You've got a desire in your heart to be a prophet. And he wants to release that. and it's Elijah and Elisha that came to mind. And Elisha followed Elijah to get Elijah's mantle. He picked it up and he got it twofold. But no one has got Elisha's mantle. Jesus is holding on to it and he wants you to take it from Jesus.
Wow.
Lay your life before Jesus and it's yours. And that's the word I have for you.
Okay. Having heard what you've heard tonight, how would you advise Jeff as to where he goes next? What's his next step for the will of God to be fulfilled in his life? Because he's on a journey, as we all are, and the principles will apply to each one of us. So listen.
When he goes home, he should say the Lord's Prayer and ask the Lord to guide him. And I'll be at home praying for him.
Yeah.
Amen. Someone else.
I also had a vision. I was slightly reluctant to share it.
Did you go on the tape too?
Hi Jeff, it's Diane here. The vision I had was a leaf falling and it rested. Rest in that with the word that you received. The leaf is the word and it rested. Rest in it. That's all.
Okay, so how, let me ask you a question. How do you get involved in doing something to gain experience? I mean, are there no opportunities? I mean, are there no needs out there? I mean, the world desperately needs what we've got. Don't you believe that?
Amen.
So how, if we're not involved, how do we get involved? If you're part of a church, offer your services. Honestly, listen, it may just be a seasonal thing where you are gaining experience. People skills. And all the time you're saying, God, I want your will to be done in my life. Don't be afraid. I mean, there's a scripture in the Old Testament thing, whatever your hand finds to do, do with all your might. Show God your commitment. Doing things.
You've got to humble yourself. I believe we have to humble ourselves and do the lowly jobs and that, and then God will see that you're faithful in those and then he will promote you. And it's very hard to find people that will do the humble behind the scenes jobs.
It is. For me, it's an intimate thing, and others probably would, many of us, we all relate to this, I hope, because it's Father's desire, is that intimate lover's relationship where the things I do for his eyes only are very seldom seen by anybody else because it's private with the bridegroom and myself, but my lover. And it's coming into that place. I mean, perhaps not everyone sees it, but I do know it's Father's desire for us all. And when you're saying, and that's my passion, is personally part of it that I'm responsible for me, between me and the Lord, is to bring or encourage others to have a face-to-face with him in whatever capacity it is. And I forgot the question now, which is usually what happens with me.
Who needs a question when you've got the answer?
Like that. I'll pass the love.
Yeah, well, I mean, that is a vital key. I mean, relationship is a key. We've got to know the Lord for ourselves. You know, you can't build on someone else's faith. You can be encouraged through it, but if we don't have that personal relationship with Jesus, then there's always going to be something missing.
The other thing that I have found to be very helpful in this area is that if you think God's speaking to you, don't just commit it to prayer, because you'll just pray until the conviction goes away. If you get an impression, a quickening, you feel God speaking to you, you'll never know whether it's God or not until you step out and do what the voice is telling you. You say, what if I get it wrong? Well, you should be thinking, but what if I get it right? This is our negative Kiwi attitudes, but how will you know that the voice you are hearing is God if you don't respond to it? And that's why I like 1 Samuel 3 about Samuel. Three times he responded to the voice of God, that he believed it was the voice of Eli. He didn't connect the voice to being God. But when he did, and he had a little bit of instruction finally, and said, the next time that voice comes, you say this, speak Lord, for your servant is listening. And the voice came a fourth time, and Samuel got a divine connection that was to change his life from that night on. The voice of God makes all the difference. And so, you know, this thing, God will just give you something little and simple to do. Do it. And if you are loving God and loving people, you're not going to make a serious mistake. Don't let pride get in the way. Step out and see what happens. If you get it wrong, learn from it. You're learning how not to do it. Honestly. But keep making adjustments until you're getting it right. Because when you have that discernment, that ability to recognize the voice of God in whatever way it comes to you, to me that's the absolute key to walking in the will of God. You win it there, and you'll win it everywhere. Because the word of the Lord is right. Amen? My sheep know my voice. The devil's number one strategy against you, friend, is to simply make you doubt the voice of God. Because if you doubt it, you do nothing.